Anywho, you guys ready?
I'm fucking always ready. You ready? Are the numbers going up? Is Randy ready? Does he have his beverage? Is Felix ready?
Yes.
You're asking a lot of questions. All
wings reporting.
I'm Red 5. Standing by.
Rogue One Red 5 or a New Hope Red 5?
I'm a New Hope.
Good call.
I am the Hope.
You are. At least until Abrams gets a hold of you, and then he just fucking just kicks you in the dick and calls you a pussy.
Yeah, parks you on an island somewhere.
You know, crying this island for 8 years.
Yeah. I'll be like, yo, Abrams, point me to the nearest Casbah so that I may rock it.
He's like, I'm going to go join Kanju Club.
Kanju Club?
My default meme for anything now is just some meme of someone talking about Kanju Club.
That's the raid people?
That's the raid people. Tell that to Kanju Club.
Tell that to Kanju Club.
Yeah, it's one. It's the fucking Lumberg from like Office Space. He's all like, yeah. If you could just tell that to Kanju Club.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
And a one and a two and a go, go, go.
Hey there. Welcome back to another amazing episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with my best buds in the world,
Jean-Raphael
and Felix. Let's do this right. Justin, how you doing?
Fabulous, Dave.
Randy, how you doing?
Lovely.
Felix, how you doing?
All right.
I was with shit. Now you got to do it all right.
All right.
Yeah. All right. All right. All right. So yeah. We got lots to get to, so let's just jump right into it. You know, we covered the unfortunate passing of Carrie Fisher, and since our last episode, word came out from Lucasfilm and Disney, the mouse itself, came out and said, oh boy. Actually, Randy does the voice better, but.
Oh boy.
They came out and they said that Carrie Fisher had two important scenes remaining in both episode 8 and 9. She had a reunion with Luke Skywalker and she had a confrontation with Kylo Ren. One of them has been filmed. We don't know which one. Conceivably, you would think the one that got filmed would be the Luke reunion, but we don't know. So one has been filmed, which leaves another very important scene unfilmed, which sadly, of course, can never be filmed with Carrie Fisher. So it leaves us with three terrible choices. One is simply to rewrite the stuff, which kind of sucks. I mean, those are both pretty impactful scenes, and you know, especially if it's the confrontation with Kylo Ren, that's almost the payoff to Han Solo's death. The other option is to Rogue One this some bitch and just, you know, computer generate her face onto someone else's body. You know, that could, you know, who knows. The third option is we could recast Princess Leia, and I'll share my feelings in a bit. You're going to be surprised at my answer, but I wanted to hear what you guys thought. I guess start with Justin. I mean, really, unless I'm missing an option, which of those options do you think is the best choice?
Well, I don't like the CG of her in Rogue One. I like Tarkin's CG, but I didn't like hers. I felt like right. That turned into like a 5-minute chop job, and I wasn't into that. If they can make that look more amazing, then that would probably work. But I am not. I don't even know if we did. We talk about this on a show on the Star Wars podcast at all?
About what?
About Princess Leia and her death and all that stuff. We didn't. It hadn't happened yet.
We talked about her. We talked about her passing last episode.
Okay. I don't remember what my feelings were, but right now in this moment, I remember Felix and I were talking about like how they recast Dumbledore and that worked just fine. I made a horrible joke about the Oracle and the Matrix and that just worked out fine. So it's not the end of the world if they have to recast, just so the character can get its due justice and not so much, you know, the actor, 'cause it's the character. But I'm cool with either one of those, a recasting or a digitized version. I wouldn't want them to rewrite it. They have their vision. I want them to stick to it.
Yeah, and you got to think that by the time they were to do an episode 9, you know, CGI recreate, we're going to be like 4 years removed from what they did in Rogue One. So technology will get better. And I think that Leia looked crummy in Rogue One because it was like a 2 second shot. And they're like, spend all our time on Tarkin. Let's just fucking throw the Princess Leia up. She's going to be up there for a couple seconds. Mm-hmm. But just let me throw a crazy idea at you. Now, if they recast, that poor actress is going to go through hell and everyone's going to give her shit. It's going to suck. What do you think of the idea of them having Natalie Portman play Princess Leia?
I guess it could work.
Crickets.
It's crazy, but I mean, whatever. She played her mom, so it makes sense.
Fans accept her. You know, obviously, you know, there'd be a suspension of disbelief, but yeah, it might work. But
yeah,
what do you think, Randy? What of those three options is there one that you find more preferential than the other?
I'm really curious to know what the original storyline would have been. And I think the only way we would ever find that out is if they went the CG route or if they recast her. But putting Natalie Portman in there, I don't think that would fly. I don't know. They would have to age her so much. I don't know. I don't want them to kill her off screen. She is an amazing actress. Yeah, I don't want them to kill her off screen either. I mean, clearly the only answer is we have to resurrect Carrie Fisher, right?
Well, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
If you can bring back Carrie Fisher, you would be the world's hero.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. As terrible as it sounds, I think I would probably be in favor of recasting just so that we can see her continue and finish her story arc. The way that they intended from the beginning of this new trilogy.
Skill There's against no hero. Wrong.
Right. There's no wrong answer. Felix, what say you?
No, I would agree with that as well. Rewriting just seems a little bit of a cop-out in that sense. But either one, CGI or recast, would be good. CGI, like you were saying, I mean, it's bound to get better. I mean, Tarkin was pretty convincing, in my opinion, and I talked about that last time. But I think either one would be a perfect choice. But they need the character of Leia for sure to wrap up this new trilogy.
Yeah, we need those two scenes that they've talked about. Both of those scenes are incredibly important. And the only reason I choose recast, and I hate saying it, I hate the idea of someone else playing Princess Leia or General Leia. The only reason I'm in favor of that is even though the technology will get better and maybe we'll be able to make it look that way, that those are two incredibly like emotional scenes, and I think you need like a human actress to pull off the emotion, because if you recreate her face, you're gonna have to recreate her voice, and then so you're gonna have to, like, you know, maybe chop together old audio clips, and I just think they'll be trying to just put too much of a square peg in a round hole. And like I said, I don't like the idea of recasting Princess Leia. She's an iconic character more than anybody else, but I just think that's gotta be the way. Cause I don't want, it seems like if they just rewrote it and scrap the whole like idea, it's even worse to the memory of Carrie Fisher. Mm-hmm. You know, her character just has this like open-ended arc.
But I mean, like, I think you might've even brought this up, Dave, where when you watch like the Clone Wars, you know, you have Obi-Wan Kenobi, you have Anakin, you have all these characters that we know and love, and they're voiced by different people. And it works. I mean, yeah, it's a cartoon, but I'm interested in the character, not the actor.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you mentioned Dumbledore, you know, Michael Gambon does a pretty great job as Dumbledore. I mean, we had two movies of, I mean, and it's funny because they're like almost different characters with different actors, mm-hmm. and they both still work. Like, Reed, I forget his first name. He plays Dumbledore really old, and then Gambon plays Dumbledore like almost too young. Like he's like all like, you know, fast and loose. But it works. I think they could do it with Leia. I hope they do.
You said,
but too. Obviously Randy's right. We just need to bring Carrie Fisher back.
Yeah.
Well, Rad, just bring back everyone from 2016. Let's have a big old party and, you know, all that fun stuff.
Like a big old seance. It starts with a seance and it ends with us probably fucking up the space-time continuum.
Yes. Yeah. And then Terminators. But, you know, we're talking episode one, episode eight a lot today. But so Rian Johnson has been the director of episode eight, has been doing some talking about some stuff in episode eight. And he's described episode eight as being funny and a blast. And he promises to explore Rey's familiar ties. And he says that Rey and Luke's relationship is one of the central themes to episode eight. So, Randy, what do you read into this?
Well, I think we're going to be spending a lot of time on that little island. Personally, I think that's going to be like, imagine how much we saw Dagobah in Empire and Jedi. It's going to be like that times a thousand, all combined into episode eight. It's going to be a lot. But I'm perplexed as to who her family is going to be, what the lineage is going to be. There's been so many theories, and so many people have come out debunking theories. I just don't know. I'm going to go into it with a clean slate. Whereas all the other Star Wars movies that have come previously over the last, like, well, since Phantom Menace, I've always been all about finding out whatever kind of spoilers I could. I think I might actually kind of try to wean myself off of spoilers for episode 8.
You say that now!
I know.
You are the worst! If you could read one page of that script, you would do it right this second.
The last page.
If it was only a page, I mean, what could
the last page.
I don't know. I might have turned over a new leaf.
No leaves. You fucking would read the whole goddamn thing if you could. Right this second.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And you would, and every time David had some theory, part of your, you would get the Forrest Whitaker eye and you'd start twitching because you would know what was really happening and you would want to just debunk everything that he says.
Okay, total side note. I know you guys aren't watching Rebels right now, but
I'm watching.
Saw Gerrera was on. Oh, okay, are you? Cool. Yeah. Saw Gerrera was on the mid-season 3 premiere that was just this past weekend, and they gave him Forrest Whitaker eye.
Nice.
The CG character, which is,
you know,
cool.
That's a touchy subject for me, Randy. Rebels, you know.
I know it is.
For bringing that up.
and I'm going to keep bringing it up until you watch it, goddammit. But I will say this, too. Even though it was voiced by Forrest Whitaker, doesn't even sound like him. Like, my wife walked in, she's like, oh, wow, too bad they couldn't actually get him to do the voice. I'm like, that is his voice. It sounds like he's never done voice acting in his life. It's all weird and awkward.
Sometimes Vader's like that, too, in Rebels. Like there was a couple times where I'm like, to where I knew James Earl Jones was the voice, but it didn't sound like him. Yeah. Maybe it's a Rebels thing.
Yeah.
It could be. But back on track, Justin. Now, Star Wars is in a way almost a victim of its own, you know, sequence of events. You know, Empire Strikes Back, the second act of the trilogy is always super dark and brooding, and, you know, it sets a dour tone. Rian Johnson's comments that this movie is going to be funny and a blast almost kind of goes in the face of what we know of Star Wars movies, especially the second film. Is this a welcome surprise that, and maybe it's a happy thing that they're not trying to recreate the original trilogy, they're kind of stepping away from the Force Awakens remake? Does it make you excited, or is this kind of like, I don't know?
It does make me excited, because I definitely think that they should step away from the formula, because I already feel like, I mean, we've beaten this fucking horse to death more times than we should have. I think that episode 7 was way too safe and way too familiar, and I would prefer something different. Perhaps that's why I like Rogue One as much as I do. So I welcome any and all changes to the formula.
Do you think that, Felix, do you think that Rogue One had something to do with it, or they didn't want to have downer movie followed by downer movie? Like, Rogue One's such a, everyone dies, can't do that in 2 movies in a row.
I think partially. That said, I don't think, I mean, if you're looking at the prequels and then the original trilogy, I don't consider episode 2 to be anywhere like Empire was in regards to that original trilogy. So I don't think the formula has been repeating as much as Justin might.
Well, I mean, as far as the original trilogy goes, I agree with you. I don't think episode two was all that dark at all. Of the prequels, the third one's the really fucked up one and depressing when it's all said and done.
By fucked up and depressing, you mean amazing and depressing.
I mean, yeah. Anakin doesn't get his way. I mean, that's a little depressing.
But just adding on the humor aspect of it, wouldn't you say that episode 7 was fun and humorous and full of laughs?
I would.
Yeah, and that was the first time we kind of had seen that, and we found it abrasive. I know that was one of the first things that we talked about after seeing that. So don't you think maybe it's just kind of building off of the foundation they've already created from episode 7?
Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. I mean, I would say that when I think like Star Wars at its most fun and like a blast, like I think Return of the Jedi, like that's just like a fun movie from like start to finish, and it's like yay. But
and I like it when the gang is all together, then it's fun. You know, they play off of each other.
They fucked that up.
And yeah,
they're all different places now.
They really did.
One's half dead.
But I mean, even when it was like Rey and Finn and Han and Chewie, I mean, that's four of them. They were having fun together, and then it works better when there's a group.
Yeah.
All right, Randy, here's a fun little thing. We know that episode 8, Rian Johnson confirmed that it's going to pick up immediately from that moment where Rey is standing there with the lightsaber to Luke Skywalker. Mm. If that's the case, how does this movie start? What's the crawl? Is there a crawl? Or does this movie just say a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, bam, Rey's right there?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that because there's a lot of people wondering about the crawl. And my take on it is this. Because they've reserved it and they've made such a point of reserving it only for saga films, we're definitely going to get a crawl. But because we are immediately picking up with Luke and Rey where we left off, they're not really going to be mentioned so much. The crawl is just going to be filling us in on what's going on with the rest of the gang. While Finn is back at such and such base recovering from blah, 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 you know, it's going to be that kind of thing. I think it's going to let us know, and fucking Kylo Ren has retreated to wherever, licking his wounds and blah, blah, blah. It's just going to be filling us, getting us up to speed on everybody else.
Mm-hmm. What about, now, this is going to sound very un-Star Wars-like, but stay with me. What if we get Lucasfilm logo a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, we cut right to that scene with Luke and Rey? They have a small exchange, almost like a cold open for a television show, to where she kind of, maybe it's like a 2-minute thing, and then we cut to the crawl. Like it's almost like how they have the Rey theme to where it slowly builds in A Force Awakens to the credits, but in this case it builds and builds and builds, and then when it finally gets to the da, then it's the actual crawl, and then when the crawl ends, we can scroll down onto whatever planet Snoke is on, and if we wanted to, I know Star Wars doesn't like to do time jumps, we could at that point do a time jump, you know, like 1 year later, something like that. So that way we don't have to see a whole year of Rey's life with Luke. Is that a crazy idea? Or is that dumb? Is that stupid? Am I a fucking idiot?
I don't think it's too crazy. And I don't think it's dumb either. So there.
Oh. Well, thank you.
No, anything's possible. Rogue One has shown us Star Wars time jumps. And other than the score, which I still don't think really works for me, and how it kind of just jolted in there, I think that could be possible if done correctly.
What about you, Justin? Oh, sorry.
That's it.
Okay. I was gonna say, what do you think about how this film's gonna open, Justin? Do you think we'll just have like stick to the traditions? You know, it's an episodic film. We go Lucasfilm long time ago, crawl, scroll down to planet, movie.
Yeah, I think it's going to go just like that. And they'll say, the rebellion or the republic or whatever the fuck is in disarray now that all their planets have blown up and Kylo Ren has retreated back to wherever, but now our heroes are on this awesome planet, and they're back together again, and here's Luke Skywalker, go fuck yourself, and then the movie starts.
Meanwhile, a mysterious meeting of Jedi Master and blah 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 is taking place on a hidden planet.
Right.
And tilt down to planet, and then boom, Rey's holding a lightsaber. It looks like there was a hand that came with that. Thank you.
Yeah.
What do you think, Felix?
Saga film, keep the formula. Really, as long as they don't Quantum of Solace this, I'm okay with it.
Justin likes Quantum of Solace.
I do.
I am not a fan of it.
Oh, that's good.
Justin's the one.
The part with the bulls.
Oh,
what don't you like about it? It's fucking awesome.
It was trying to link to Casino, which in my opinion is still the top film there.
Yeah, it took place like immediately after. He's got the asshole in the trunk.
I know, and then it spun off to this whole weird storyline that I didn't
like. The first thing you should know is that we have people everywhere. Oh, yeah. Mr. White!
You want it to stay traditional, Felix. Would you be opposed to something like Randy and I were talking about, to where we have a cold opening, then do the crawl, and then it allows us to go somewhere else? Would that be just jarring and you'd be like, fuck this, I can't stand this?
I don't know. I felt like Rogue One did it right in the sense that it broke the formula because it is something different. With these films here, they're just a part of that bigger series, even though it is a new trilogy. But if they didn't do something with 7, then it's going to feel very strange doing it in 8.
Right.
Right. Got to keep your branding consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, people don't know if you're McDonald's or Taco Bell or who the fuck you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's.
Exactly. It's a different movie.
I'd like to eat his nuggets.
Oh, yeah. I like it a lot. Oh, I didn't talk about Rey's parentage.
Oh, yeah.
I think...
What do you got?
I think that all of this talk about Luke and Rey and Rian Johnson doing all this stuff, I think it's way too much on the nose. I think we can pretty much eliminate Luke is Rey's mother from what he's saying. If that
Wait,
was
what?
True...
You said Luke is Rey's mother.
Oh, sorry. Luke is Rey's father. Well, you know, it's the new millennium.
I know. It's...
I think we can eliminate that, because I think that if Luke were in fact Rey's father, they wouldn't be talking about it like this, I don't think. I think that Rey is going to be a virgin of the Force, just like Anakin Skywalker. She's going to come from the Force, and that's going to be kind of her bond with Luke, because, hey, my dad came from the Force. I don't think they're going to mention midichlorians. I think they're smart enough to stay completely clear of that. And I think that Luke is going to see this as his chance, because the last Virgins of the Force went terribly wrong, and he was the only one who was able to bring him back, and he's going to have a special kin relationship with this poor girl who needs him more than anything. And I think it'll explain a lot about why she's able to, last as long as she did with Kylo Ren and put up a decent fight. And I think that's the way they're going to go. I'm locking it in. So this December, when I'm right, you guys can be like, oh, remember when you said in January, David, you're a smart motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll be totally wrong and I'll be like, I didn't say that. It's Margot Robbie. Bring it back.
Full circle.
Full circle from 2 years ago. What about Affleck and Batman, Justin? He was on Jimmy Kimmel, and he was kind of, I wouldn't say backpedaling, but he's like, of course I'm going to do Batman. I'm going to direct it and star in it. You guys need to relax, bro. Is this just him putting us in check, or is the fact that it was like this little add-on at the end of his Live by Night interview mean that he got his way with Warner Brothers, and now he's trying to make peace?
That might be true. At the same time, I think that this business has, the business of show and the reporting on said business has become a little irresponsible. And I think that sometimes articles post things prematurely and come up with their own, speculations, and that it might have been taken completely out of context. And I mean, even we were guilty of talking about it and saying, oh man, now it's in trouble if he's not going to direct it, if he thinks it's a piece of shit, then why would he want to be a part of it? So, I don't know. I think we all are just victims of jumping to our own conclusions.
Yeah, I'm sure that is. A jump to conclusion, Matt.
Mm-hmm. There's this mat with conclusions on it.
This idea is...
people jump to. Yeah.
Do you agree with that, Felix? Or do you think that Affleck was kind of using the media to pressure Warner Brothers into something? Like, he was trying to get his way, and by making this little side comment that kind of exploded, that he was able to get some leverage over the brothers Warner.
Well, the interview that happened in was for his other movie, right?
Yeah, Live by Night.
Okay. So I think it's appropriate in the sense that he wanted to draw focus to his own work in progress versus something that's, you know, going to be happening in later on. I think he just wants some, you know, attention to not non-Batman things.
I'm doing other stuff, guys.
And everyone's like, yeah, we're not interested in this movie right now. We want to talk about Batman.
Yeah, Live by Night. Yeah, it's a gangster movie. Yeah, it's no one likes it. Yeah, how about you got to be Batman?
Yeah.
What's it like being Batman? What say you, Randy? What's your take on this whole struggle? It's just people trying to get clicks on their websites by hastily reporting something that wasn't a story, or do you think there was more going on behind the scenes?
I think it was a legitimate frustration of Affleck's during the initial interview, and you know, if he had his rathers, I'm sure he'd rather not have said that. And now he's backpedaling. That's what I'm thinking. Ooh. I don't think the media blew it out of proportion. I think he's legitimately frustrated with it and let something slip, and then it's like, oh shit, how do we fix this?
So do you think this is kind of his way of doing, you know, the PR to try to fix it, or do you think that he got his way with Warner Brothers and now he's got to play nice again?
That the latter. He got his way, so he's backpedaling and being nice.
Well, that's damn decent of him.
I heard he's not a terrible guy.
I hear he's just the sweetest man. He's Batman. How can he not be?
Oh, that Batman, Affleck.
Batman doesn't seem like he'd be that nice of a guy.
What? We can watch the wrong.
But then again, I'd probably be a villain in the Batman universe, though.
Oh yeah.
So I'd be predisposed not to like him.
Or if you were a billionaire playboy with infinite resources, you would just, you know, bang broads and stay home. You wouldn't dress up and put your life in risk.
Why get in fights when you can just get all the free pussy you can eat?
Wow.
I can just see, you got the little sneeze guard and everything.
It's like a goddamn salad bar. Boondang!
Randy, that is awful.
You would be the Joker. Speaking of the Joker, have you guys seen Mark Hamill reading Trump tweets?
Yes.
It's a thing.
I saw it on geeklegacy.com.
What? That's the best website ever. Patton Oswalt talked to Mark Hamill about doing at least the New Year's Eve tweet from Donald Trump, where he's like, Happy New Year to everybody, especially my enemies who want blah, blah, blah. And it works so well in the Joker voice. Do you want to see more of this, Justin?
Mm-hmm. Every day.
Every day? Filling your ear holes?
Mm-hmm.
Randy, do you see this? Have you heard of this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Have you seen about this?
Yeah, you know, anything, yeah. I'm not going to get political, but we need smiles. We need laughter right now. So I say yes. Please, Mr. Hamill, continue.
I like it. What about you, Felix?
Yeah, no. All for it.
More jokes. Mixing some humor with some politics.
Right.
What do you think Trump thinks of it, Felix? You're attuned to the Trump mindset.
He's quite a character.
Can't even be mad. It's like he said it.
Yeah.
That is true.
But it's like, I'm just doing a funny voice.
Yeah, but just because he said shit in the past doesn't mean it's going to stop him from denying that he said it.
it's like a paper trail.
Yeah.
Like
a paper, huh?
A paper what?
A what now?
Paper trail?
Oregon trail.
Yeah, they don't have, you know where they don't have paper? In the water where Aquaman takes place. DC Extended Universe is to say it's had a troubled start is would probably be an understatement. You know, obviously we got talked now about Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad. And you know, the next movie up is Wonder Woman, who, you know, they had their first director, Michelle McLaren, and she left because of creative differences. They brought in Patty Jenkins. In the Flash movie, they had their original, they, well, first, I think they wanted Lord and Miller to direct it, but they went off to the Han Solo movie. They hired the guy whose name I completely can't remember. Then he left, and they brought in Seth Graham Smith. He left over creative differences. They still haven't replaced him. Then you got Aquaman. You know, they were all set to announce a director. They didn't announce their director because he fell through. We don't know who it was. They bring in James Wan from The Conjuring. He doesn't like the script. Does a page one rewrite of the script. Are we ever going to get on? Now we have Aquaman. We have the writer of Aquaman saying that it's going to be a really fun movie.
Great.
I don't know what to do with DC anymore. What? Are you excited for Aquaman, Justin?
I am. Like, I think they're still just figuring shit out, and I think that's a good thing. If they feel that something's not right, then better to pull it before they start shooting.
Just a couple of teenagers exploring each other's bodies.
Yeah,
Hey, he knows what that's about.
I think that they're playing it cool. They're going to figure it out. They'll find out what works, and then they'll go from there.
Yeah.
It sounds like, I mean, they got a lot of money invested in this and a lot of time, a lot of movies, and they already got the feedback from the first three, right? Man of Steel, mm-hmm. Batman v Superman, then Suicide Squad. Wonder Woman looks fantastic. I really like what I'm seeing with Justice League, so there's no rush. The shit's here to stay, so they might as well just take their time and get it right.
Yeah, no, I like it. And Aquaman will be the first movie kind of devoid of, you know, Zack Snyder's input, so maybe it'll be a different type movie. What do you think, Randy? Are you excited for Aquaman as a character you probably know next to nothing about?
Yeah, I mean, considering it is a character I do legitimately know next to nothing about, I think it's going to be interesting. I like what little we've seen of him so far.
In the Justice League trailer and 2 seconds in Oh, you haven't seen Batman v Superman, never mind.
Yeah, so I'm judging it on the Justice League
trailer. It's a lot like in Zoolander when he's a merman.
Yes. That small bit.
Where he's just
about how long he's on.
Where he's like swimming at the camera and then just kind of like just wiggles away.
What about that badass shot with the wave crashing over him? And
that's badass. No, I was talking about in Batman v Superman. In Justice League, where he's chugging the booze and getting all wet and wild like a Girls Gone Wild video. That's a whole nother ballgame. That's Khal Drogo getting ready to fuck some shit.
Yeah, that's
lifted
the Aquaman
Batman
I want
off
to
the
see.
Ground.
Yeah.
Talking about the King Tide.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds bad. What about you, Felix? I don't know if we've ever gotten your take on where the current DCU universe fits in your brain, and are you excited for Aquaman?
No.
Aquaman?
I have no interest in DC.
Oh, man.
Even with Jason Momoa?
Even with Jason.
Even with James Wan directing it?
Even with him.
Wow. Are you not a fan of the DCU as it is? DCEU
not,
as it is?
Not as it is. No. They lost me at Batman v Superman.
Oh, man. Tough
crowd.
They
didn't win you back with Suicide Squad?
No. Well, I haven't seen that one yet, so I guess I can't judge, probably. But
y'all must be crazy.
You and Justin got a lot of comments. Oh, you and me and Randy got a lot of comments. You haven't seen it either. You guys should, like, double date or something. It's a long drive for one of you, though. Yeah. All right.
I'm ready.
Woman.
I want to be Aqualad.
Ooh.
Or Aquaboy, whatever the fuck.
It's got like Robin shorts you got to wear.
I'm okay with that.
You okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. well, I guess that's going to be a short one today, guys. We weren't as chatty as I thought we were going to be. You guys got anything else you want to discuss? Anything else in the world that's bugging you?
The Nintendo Switch is going to have their big reveal.
Oh, yeah. When's that?
I think Thursday.
Ooh. I got $250 in store credits at Toys R Us.
Wow.
I'm ready to get it.
What, like no receipt returns?
It got gift receipts and stuff. Mm. For stuff for Christmas and stuff. So, do you think they'll announce the price point on Thursday?
I hope so. What do you think it'll be? $250? $300? $350?
I think it'll be $300. Mm. I would love it to be $250, but I think, yeah.
You get an Xbox One for $250. Xbox One S.
Yeah, but I can't take my Xbox One S with me.
You can,
play
too.
It on the go. Not on the go, I can't play.
Oh my god, what game do you have to fucking have and play on the go? Absolutely
like
nothing.
Lots.
Take your 3DS that you just had
seen
to
commercial?
Have.
I can take it
to a basketball court. Yeah.
and we can, I can separate my controllers and I can play two-player games with like strangers at the basketball court.
So stupid.
I'm a big fan of the basketball court.
Sounds like
it's all fun and games until you lose a controller.
Yeah.
That's right. You're like, who's got my controller? Sweet. What about you, Randy? You got anything geeky you want to talk about? Any grievances you have? Any crazy theories or just bitching and moaning you want to do?
Nothing.
Nothing you want to bitch about? You always want to bitch about something.
No. The Mighty Jerd says, I hate everything and I am the enemy of fun. So in honor of him this week, I'm not going to bitch about anything that I haven't already bitched about.
It's a compromise. I think he's just sad because you don't like Winter Soldier. I think that's why he's sad.
I didn't even remember what I said that I hated on the year-end roundup episode, but it's probably full of my usual vitriol.
You seemed sad, Randy. You're like, I don't care about this. I'm dead inside.
No, I'm not sad. I'm just getting over being sick. Not to be confused with sadness.
Sad in pants.
Yeah, always sad in pants. All
right. Well, I'm glad you're thinking of Jeff's feelings. He'll feel better about that.
Yeah.
What about you, Felix? Anything?
No.
All right. Well, that was a short one, guys. So, yeah, make sure to... you know, do the like stuff on your old iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know, we really appreciate that. And make sure you listen to the other podcast in the Geek Legacy Network. We just talked about the Mighty Jerd, him and Tyler. They do the Comic Corner podcast, talking about comics on their pull list and really educating dumb comic folks like me who know nothing and making me sound smart at cocktail parties when we talk about comic books. And then Justin and Stephen K. James got the Pixelated podcast. My poor phone is just hungering for a new Pixelated podcast. I'm hoping it's coming soon.
I know, we've been having scheduling conflicts. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I just love to hear your voice, Justin. That's really what it is.
No.
I'm crazy. No. I got this weird crazy
unlimited power.
But, yeah, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @GeekLegacy, and go to GeekLegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews.